Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, April 8th, 2022. Coming up this hour.
Economic pressure ratchets up on Russia. We are live in Europe with the latest.
Janet Yellen's push for a global tax agreement suffers a setback.
The war hits food supply as prices surge at the fastest pace ever.
And Elon Musk is set to address the staff at Twitter after taking a stake in the company.
New York lawmakers struck a $220 billion budget deal. Plus, today, President Biden will celebrate future Supreme Court Justice Jackson. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower, and towards a season-opening win for the Mets, a big win for the Rangers, and they'll play the second round of the Masters today.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. stock index futures are higher to end the week. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up about 10 points, Dow futures up 96, NASDAQ futures up 32, the 10-year Treasury down 4/32, yield 2.67%, the yield on the two-year 2.51%, and NYMEX crude oil is up 0.9% at $96.85 a barrel. Nathan.
All right, Karen, we'll have more on the markets in a minute. First, the latest on the war. Ukraine says dozens of civilians have been killed in a Russian attack on a railway station in Donetsk. Russia denies it. Meantime, the UN General Assembly has voted to suspend Russia from the Human Rights Council. And that's just the first step. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter reports.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken says exactly the right move, and U.S. Ambassador to the UN Linda Thomas-Greenfield says the body must proceed with investigation and punishment.
It's about the credibility of the UN. Right now, the world is looking to us. They are asking if the United Nations is prepared to meet this moment.
Greenfield calls it an historic moment with work left to be done. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thank you. Well, for the first time, the European Union has now targeted Russia's crucial energy revenues. We go live to London and get the latest with Bloomberg's Max Ramsey. Good morning, Max.
Morning to you, Karen and Nathan. Yes, the European Union has banned coal imports from Russia. As you say, this is a significant step. It's the first move targeting energy revenue from the European Union. The sanctions package also includes preventions on Russian trucks and ships from entering the EU. And previously, there were no sanctions on energy. Germany, Hungary were among those blocking this move, given their reliance on Russian fossil fuels. Now some members want to go further and want more measures on Russian energy imports and oil in particular. Live in London, Max Ramsey, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Okay, Max, thanks. So many analysts think energy sanctions will put more pressure on Vladimir Putin. Hagar Shamali is a former policy advisor in the Treasury Department's sanctions division.
The language he understands the most is the threat of military force. And so I don't want to equate the threat of sanctions to the threat of military force when it comes to changing his behavior and compelling him to negotiate. But it helps further the pressure, and it helps, most importantly, limit his ability to finance his violence machine.
Former Treasury advisor Hagar Shamali was a guest on Bloomberg Sound On. You can catch the program weekdays at 5 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio.
Meantime, Nathan, the war in Ukraine is having a major impact on the cost of food. Global food prices are surging at the fastest pace ever as the war wreaks havoc on supply chains in the Black Sea region. That sent food prices to a record, with the United Nations Index of World Costs soaring 13% last month.
Now we have more economic news this morning, Karen, as several Fed officials weigh in on policy. St. Louis President Jim Bullard says he favors raising interest rates sharply to counter the highest inflation in four decades.
This Taylor rule calculation is telling us that where we should be in a minimal, under minimal assumptions, very generous assumptions, it's saying it should be at 3.5%. Where we actually only 1/3 of 1% or 37.5 basis points. So you're too low by about 300 basis points.
St. Louis Fed President Jim Bullard suggesting he backs a 50 basis point hike in May. However, Atlanta's Rafael Bostic supports increases more in line with the path laid out by the Fed's projections or dot plot.
I think it's fully appropriate that we move our policy closer to a neutral position. But I think we need to do it in a measured way.
Atlanta Fed President Rafael Bostic is a voter this year on the rate setting FOMC.
Meantime, Nathan, Fed meetings could see some new faces on the way. Senate Banking Chairman Sherrod Brown says he expects votes by the full chamber on President Biden's four Fed board nominees later this month. We get the details from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
He thinks it'll happen after the Senate's two-week break. The Ohio Democrat said he also hopes Biden will have nominated a new vice chair of supervision by then. Brown said he expects Lisa Cook, a pick for Fed governor, or Lael Brainard, nominated as vice chair, to be the first to be confirmed. Republicans have lined up in opposition to Cook, but four Republicans back Brainard in the banking committee. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. At the Treasury Department this morning, there may be a setback for Janet Yellen's push for a global tax agreement. Let's get the latest on that live from Bloomberg's John Tucker. John.
Yeah, Nathan, it looks like big business is not backing the plan. Executives at eight major U.S.-based multinational corporations interviewed by Bloomberg say that far too much remains unknown about the deal. Treasury Secretary Yellen counting on their support, which could be critical to help win passage in Congress. Corporate leaders agree the groundbreaking global deal that Yellen secured last year could deliver important benefits by helping to reduce disputes and prevent trade wars. But they also call the plan overly complex. Live in New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. I'll turn into corporate news now. It's all about Twitter again this morning. Just days after announcing his stake in the company, Elon Musk is reportedly set to address the staff. And we get the details live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen. Twitter is planning to host Elon Musk for a Q&A session with employees. That's according to company messages obtained by The Washington Post, which says there are internal outcries over Musk's appointment to Twitter's board of directors. Town hall meetings like this are not new to Silicon Valley, but it's rare to host a board member at one. Twitter's hoping to calm any anxiety workers have about Musk's impact on company culture by giving them the chance to ask him anything. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Okay, Renita, thank you. S&P futures now up 10 points, Dow futures up 99, NASDAQ futures up 34 points, and the 10-year Treasury yield 2.67%. Local headlines next, plus a check of sports. This is Bloomberg. It's now 6:07 on Wall Street. We're at 49 degrees in Central Park. We got an accident on northbound FDR Drive at 79th. More coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr with what else is going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. New York Governor Kathy Hochul and legislative leaders struck a $220 billion budget deal that promises a little less pain at the pump, help for working parents, and new tax breaks.
It is balanced, and it pairs a bold vision with a fiscally responsible approach. Very important to me. We are making historic investments that will make a difference in people's lives right now, but also, and more importantly, these are legacy achievements that will be noted for years to come.
Governor Hochul says the budget includes a $2.2 billion homeowner tax rebate. It also has a six-month suspension of the state's fuel tax and $287 million in child tax credits. Former Governor Andrew Cuomo missed a key deadline to mount a challenge against Governor Kathy Hochul in this year's New York Democratic primary. Prospective candidates had until 5 p.m. yesterday to electronically file 15,000 signatures necessary to achieve a place on the Democratic primary ballot. Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg says a criminal investigation into former President Donald Trump and his business practices is continuing despite a recent shakeup in the probe's leadership. It was part of a double dose of bad legal news for Trump. New York's Attorney General Letitia James also asked a court to hold Trump in contempt and fine him $10,000 per day for failing to comply with a subpoena for documents in her ongoing civil investigation. President Joe Biden today will celebrate the confirmation of Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson to the Supreme Court. Vice President Kamala Harris says she was honored to preside over the Senate for yesterday's confirmation vote. The Senate approved Judge Jackson in a 53-47 vote, making her the first black woman to serve as a Supreme Court justice.
What a glorious day and evening it is. What a glorious day.
Vice President Harris spoke during an event at the National Art Gallery last night. One person who can't be at today's celebration is House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. She tested positive for COVID yesterday. The test came less than 24 hours after she was standing next to President Biden for a bill signing. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks.
6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stanshaw.
All right, Nathan. Since 1970, the Mets have only won the World Series once. But what they have done over the last 53 years is be dominant on opening day—an incredible record of 40-13. It was 5-1 in Washington. Tyler McGill, a surprise opening day starter, hurled 5 scoreless innings. 8 of the 9 Mets starters had hits. Robinson Cano had 2. So did Pete Alonso and Mark Canha. Tonight in D.C., it's Max Scherzer's Mets debut facing his old team. With the skies now clear, Yankees and Red Sox set to open their seasons today at the stadium. Garrett Cole versus Nathan Eovaldi. Also, this afternoon, round 2 of the Masters. Tiger Woods has a late tee time, which gives him a chance to recover from his first competitive round in a year and a half. It was a very impressive one, a 1 under par, 71.
To play this golf course and to do what I did today, to make the... to hit the shots in the right spots, you know, I know where to hit it to a lot of these pins, and I'm missing the correct spots and give myself good angles, and I did that all day, and I was able to make a few putts and end up in a red like I am right now.
The 24-year-old Korean Sun Jae-im shot 67. He's got a one-shot lead on the Aussie Cameron Smith. Hourly updates on Bloomberg Radio and the Masters Tonight wrap-up show at 11. If the NHL season ended now, the Rangers would face Pittsburgh opening round of the playoffs. They just met the Penguins 3 times over the last 2 weeks. And won all 3. It was 3-0 at the Garden with Igor Shesterkin making 30 saves for his 4th shutout first since January. Devils lost to Montreal 7-4. Final weekend of the NBA regular season. The Knicks close out tonight in Washington and then Sunday against Toronto. Nets have home games tomorrow and Sunday versus Cleveland and Indiana. John Stachauer, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Okay, John, thanks. Right now, S&P futures are up 11 points. Dow futures up 107. NASDAQ futures are higher by 38 points. The 10-year Treasury down 2/32. The yield 2.66%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.50%. The latest on the war and pressure on Russia next. We'll be checking in with Greg Vallier of AGF. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by the Jewish Communal Fund. JCF's donor-advised fund is the smart choice to manage your philanthropy, especially in times of crisis. Make your giving impactful. Visit jcfny.org.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks ending the week on a positive note, with European equities snapping 2 days of declines, sparked by the Federal Reserve's plan for aggressive monetary policy tightening, and U.S. stock index futures on the rise. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day. On Bloomberg, S&P futures up 6 points, Dow futures up 80, NASDAQ futures up 14, the DAX in Germany is up 1.2%. 10-year Treasury down 3/32, yield 2.67%, the yield on the 2-year, 2.50%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1% or 97 cents at $97 a barrel. COMEX gold little changed at $19.37 an ounce. The euro 1.0877 against the dollar. British pound 1.3050. And the yen is at 124.07. And Bitcoin lower down 0.1% at $43,530. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. The UN General Assembly voted to suspend Russia from the organization's leading human rights body over allegations of atrocities in Ukraine. Meanwhile, European Union countries agreed to ban coal imports from Russia. President Biden will hold a ceremony today for Ketanji Brown Jackson, who was confirmed to the Supreme Court yesterday. In golf at the Masters, Sun Jae-im leads the field after round 1 with 5 under. Tiger Woods is 4 shots back from the lead. Stay tuned for updates every hour on Bloomberg Radio and a special edition of Masters Tonight coming up at 11 p.m. Eastern. In Major League Baseball, the Mets beat the Nationals 5-1 in their opener. The Yankees host the Red Sox today after yesterday's scheduled opener was postponed because of rain. In the NHL, the Rangers won, the Devils lost. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks. It is 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and we're joined now by Greg Valliere, Chief U.S. Policy Strategist at AGF Investments, as we continue following developments in the war in Ukraine. Greg, good morning. Of course, we've seen the apparent atrocities in northern Ukraine, and now as Russia moves east, Ukraine is accusing the Kremlin forces of rocket attacks that have left maybe 30 civilians dead at a railway station where civilians were trying to evacuate. Now, Russia's denying this, but if it turns out to be the case, what does this tell you about where this war is going from here?
Well, it's increasingly ugly, obviously, Nathan, and I think it'll stay that way for a while. But let me disagree, if I might, this morning with the conventional wisdom that Donbass in eastern Ukraine will be a stalemate or the Russians may prevail. I'm not so sure about that. I think the big problem for the Russian troops continues to be their supply lines. That failed them in the move toward Kiev, and it may fail them again.
Is that going to depend on further weapons support from Europe and from the U.S. for Ukraine to continue to hold the line? Because, as you say, we have seen some pretty remarkable resistance by Ukrainian forces over the last month or so.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do think that this lull gives a chance not just for the Russian troops to, you know, remobilize, but it gives the Ukrainians a chance to get a lot more very sophisticated weapons from the U.S. and Western Europe. A lot of defensive, some offensive. I think the Ukrainian troops will be very well armed for this battle in the east.
Now, you mentioned the idea of Russia remobilizing here. Just to take the other side of the coin, could Russia remobilize further to sort of organize better? Because we have seen, at least the way this war has gone so far, a lot of evidence of disorganization by Russian forces. Could things firm up?
You would think so, considering how inept the first month has gone for the Russian troops. I still think that there's a morale problem. I still think there's a supply problem. I mean, Russian troops didn't have enough water, fuel, food as they got close to Kiev. I'm assuming that has improved, but the ports where a lot of these supplies come have been under attack by Ukrainian forces. So I'm not sure the supply lines are going to be solid.
I want to ask you a little bit about the world response. We got that vote in the UN General Assembly yesterday removing Russia from the Human Rights Council, and the Senate unanimously put these trade restrictions on Russia. Do you see that having any impact in terms of how Putin could play this war out going further?
Well, it could embarrass him, but I think he's incapable of being embarrassed. I'm not sure that's going to have a big impact. I still think as we get well into the spring, and I'm sadly afraid it's going to last for a few more months, but as we get well into the spring, I do think there'll be an increased focus on the exit ramp, something that Putin can take and call, you know, maybe he'll be lying, of course, but call a victory. I do think there'll be something involving a promise by Ukraine not to join NATO. But I increasingly think because of all of the massacres and atrocities that the Ukrainians are very unlikely to give up any territory.
That's an interesting point, Greg, the idea of off-ramps in the next few months, because we've heard from the likes of NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg that this war could go on not just for months, but maybe for years. Where do you see potential off-ramps for Russia?
Well, again, it's going to have to be after more carnage, but I do think that Russia, if Russia can get a guarantee of Ukrainian neutrality, if maybe Russia will insist on a little bit of land, but that's going to be a sticking point. And, you know, the other sticking point, Nathan, is the end of sanctions. You just can't turn them on and off like a light switch. And I think that Putin is going to have sanctions persisting even after the war ends.
In our last 30 seconds here, you've got to think as well that a big sticking point is trust on the Ukrainian side, because Russia has reneged so many times in its past discussions.
Yeah, so much of this is psychological, and I would say that morale continues to be a really big point. Russian troops are willing to die for their country. Ukrainian troops will die for their country. I'm not sure Russian troops are willing to die for Vladimir Putin. And I think the morale story is going to be increasingly crucial.
All right, Greg Valliere, as always, thank you for your insights. Greg Valliere is Chief U.S. Policy Strategist at AGF Investments. S&P futures now up 5 points. Dow futures up 74. NASDAQ futures pairing some of their gains now. They're up by only 9 points, so little changed for the tech-heavy NASDAQ futures. Just ahead, a setback for a global tax deal, and Elon Musk says, ask me anything, Twitter. Top stories of the morning just ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Anshin Accountants and Advisors. Challenging times call for proactive advisors who help minimize taxes, increase cash flow, and create opportunities for the future of your business. Visit Anshin.com.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Six 30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. It's time for the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Interactive Brokers charges margin loan rates from 0.83% to 1.83%, rates subject to change. Learn more at ibkr.com/compare. Up first, Ukraine says 27 civilians have been killed in a Russian attack on a railway station. We're told they were preparing to evacuate. Meantime, the U.N. General Assembly has voted to suspend Russia from the Human Rights Council. U.S. Ambassador Linda Thomas-Greenfield.
Let us continue to hold Russia accountable for this unprovoked, unjust, unconscionable war, and to do everything in our power to stand with the people of Ukraine.
Ambassador Linda Thomas-Greenfield says it's a collective step in the right direction.
And for the first time, Karen, the European Union is targeting Russia's crucial energy reserves. The bloc has agreed to ban Russian coal imports. It's also banning most Russian trucks and ships from entering the EU.
Well, Nathan, meantime, the war in Ukraine is having a major impact on the cost of food. Global food prices are surging at the fastest pace ever as the war wreaks havoc on supply chains. The United Nations Index of World Costs soared 13% last month.
At the Treasury Department this morning, there's been an apparent setback for Janet Yellen. We're told big business is pushing back against her plans for a global tax agreement. Let's get the details live from Bloomberg's John Tucker. John.
Nathan, the Treasury Secretary Yellen counting on the support of corporate America for her global tax deal to win passage in Congress. But big business, nowhere close to backing the plan. Executives at eight major U.S.-based multinational corporations interviewed by Bloomberg say that far too much remains unknown about it. Most of the executives say some version of the deal can eventually pass, but not on its current timeline. Live in New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. I'll turn into corporate news now. It's all about Twitter again this morning. Just days after announcing a stake in the company, Elon Musk is reportedly set to address the staff. We get the details live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen. Twitter is planning to host Elon Musk for a Q&A session with employees. That's according to company messages obtained by the Washington Post, which says there are internal outcries over Musk's appointment to Twitter's board of directors. Town hall meetings like this are not new to Silicon Valley, but it's rare to host a board member at one. Twitter's hoping to calm any anxiety workers have about Musk's impact on company culture. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. And that's the five things you need to know to start your day. And straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
Okay, Karen, thank you. 633 on Wall Street, 49 degrees in Central Park. We got accidents in the tunnels, outbound Holland, inbound Lincoln. I'll tell you how it's affecting your ride in traffic shortly. First, Michael Barr with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. New York Mayor Eric Adams talked about his first 100 days in office during an interview with ABC 7 this morning. Adams was asked about crime in the city.
Clearly, these problems have been decades in the making as we witness this problem all over our country and over proliferation of handguns on our streets. I have to really thank the commissioner. We are laying the foundation to move us to a safe city. We removed over 1,000 guns off the streets in the city of New York, and that continued flow is still here.
Mayor Adams also said on ABC 7, there are places for the homeless to go and off the streets. Some have criticized Adams' recent efforts clearing out homeless encampments. New York Governor Kathy Hochul has announced what she calls a conceptual agreement with legislators on a $220 billion state budget. Hochul says New York will devote billions of dollars to help families pay for child care, boost health care worker wages, and temporarily cut state gasoline taxes.
I said that this moment is a once-in-a-generation opportunity to not just bring relief to families and put more money in people's pockets, but to also make historic investments in our people and on our state.
Governor Hochul, the budget was due April 1st, but has been held up by last-minute policy and spending disagreements. A New York appeals judge says he will likely rule today on whether to continue blocking a lower court ruling that declared the state's new congressional and legislative district maps unconstitutional. New York's electoral landscape was thrown into question last week when a Republican trial court judge ordered the state's Democrat-controlled legislature to redraw the district boundaries. Today, President Biden will celebrate the confirmation of Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson as the first black woman to reach the Supreme Court. Vice President Kamala Harris said she was honored to preside over the Senate for Thursday's vote confirming Jackson. The Senate approved Judge Jackson in a 53-47 vote.
It was extraordinary. And so indeed, we continue to witness history.
Vice President Harris spoke during an event at the National Art Gallery last night. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. Almost 6:36 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's Sean Stashon.
In the Mets season opener, of course, pushed back a week due to the lockout, and then pushed back 3 hours due to rain in Washington, and they waited another hour after that. Worth the wait, a 5-1 Mets victory in Buck Showalter's first game as manager. Who needs Jacob deGrom and Max Scherzer when you have Tyler McGill? He was terrific with five scoreless innings. The Mets broke through with two runs in the fifth. Got run scoring hits from Mark Canna and Jeff McNeil in the sixth inning, another from Francisco Lindor in the seventh. The Nats got only a Juan Soto home run off Trevor May in the sixth. The Mets are 40-13 in their last 53 season openers, and Scherzer goes tonight as Mets debut against his old team. Yankees and Red Sox have their rain-delayed opener this afternoon in the Bronx. At the Garden, Rangers shut out the Penguins 3-0. 30 saves for Igor Shesterkin. The Rangers move 6 points ahead of the Penguins. They're only two behind first place Carolina. Rangers are 17-1 at home when they score the first goal. Opening round of the Masters, 24-year-old Korean Sungjae Im shot 67, leads the Aussie Cameron Smith by one shot. Dustin Johnson, who won the green jacket 2 years ago, trails by two. Tiger Woods in 23 Masters, five victories, only twice has broken 70 in the opening round. He had a 71, which is remarkable considering the injuries and the long layoff. Tiger then gave a forecast for what's ahead at Augusta.
I know we got a long way to go. This golf course is going to change dramatically. Cooler, drier, windier. You can hear the sub-airs on out there. So this golf course is going to change, and it's going to get a lot more difficult.
Round two today, an hourly update here on Bloomberg Radio with the Masters Tonight Show at 11. John Stashow with Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks. 6:37 on Wall Street. Time to take a look at stocks. Some of the names moving in the pre-market with Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta. We made it to Friday, Creedy, and what would you say? Things are a little quiet right now, wouldn't you think?
A little quiet, but still some movement underneath the hood, okay. For lack of a better term. But, you know, Nathan, I love coming on here and talking about oil companies. You know that.
I do.
But this time we have a really great story out from our oil team, and I think this is requires just a little bit of extra emphasis this morning. So you do have some of those oil companies higher. Devon Energy, for example, DVN is your ticker, up 1%. Chevron as well, up 0.5%. CVX is your ticker there. Occidental, seeing a slight bit as well, up 0.2%. OXY is your ticker there. This is coming at a time, and I'm not sure this is a direct relationship to the story, but it is worth pointing out. We have our oil team reporting that shale producers are courting European buyers when it comes to that LNG market. We know that coming off of the war in Ukraine, that dependence on Russia when it comes to LNG is really trying to be removed, especially by the likes of Germany and France. So we have to talk about where else do you get that kind of supply. And Texas, Louisiana, these are key export kind of hubs for that LNG. So you do start to see some of these companies like EQT, like Devon, like Occidental, actually in talks with some of these European buyers. So this is going to be something to really keep your eye on, especially going into next week when you do have some of these companies actually moving to, or actually I should say traveling to Europe to negotiate further how we can actually make those exports happen. A lot of people targeting for the end of the year to really build out that infrastructure and start getting that supply to Europe, which is actually far, far more accelerated than it was previously.
Yeah, so I guess we're going to be watching oil stocks for quite a few more days, if not weeks, as the European Union looks for ways to wean itself off Russian energy. We've got some analyst moves to talk about as well, Creedy.
Yeah, also moving the market. Those analysts are also busy this morning. Alcoa is on the top of the list. AA is your ticker, down 1.6% after Credit Suisse trimmed their recommendation to neutral, viewing LME aluminum prices near peak levels. Also seeing some weight on Robinhood. HOOD is your ticker, down 4% after Goldman Sachs cuts it to a sell from a neutral, saying that softening retail engagement levels and profitability concerns will likely limit any outperformance. And lastly, Nathan, CrowdStrike, CRWD is your ticker, up actually just shy of 4%. This comes after analysts responded pretty positively after management set a framework to reach $5 billion in annual recurring revenue. This, of course, comes after an investor briefing with the company.
All right. Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta with us as always in the pre-market and as we take a look at stocks as a whole. Before the trade gets going into the cash market, we have S&P futures up 7 points, Dow futures up 91, NASDAQ futures higher by 17 points. The 10-year Treasury is down 2/32 with a yield 2.66% and the yield on the 2-year right now 2.50, almost 2.51%. Looking at NYMEX crude, it's up 0.5%, up 48 cents, $96.51 for a barrel of West Texas Intermediate. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, mix of sun and clouds, maybe a shower today, low 60s for highs. Chance for a shower tomorrow as well with a high in the upper 50s. Low 50s, some passing clouds on Sunday. 49 is the current temperature in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Futures this morning are on the rise, and we go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. Gains in the U.S. futures right now. A Dow futures up 100 points. S&P's gain 8.5, while NASDAQ futures climb by 23. The U.S. 10-year yield at 2.67%. Gold, oil, and Bitcoin are all trading little changed, while European markets are in the green this morning. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 10 o'clock, wholesale inventories. And in macro news, Russia's central bank cut its key rate by 300 basis points to 17%. In an unscheduled decision. In other news, Elon Musk says that Tesla's Cybertruck, Roadster, and Semi are all coming next year. And wrapping things up, UPS was cut to neutral at Bank of America. Alcoa cut to neutral at Credit Suisse. C.H. Robinson raised overweight at J.P. Morgan. And Robinhood was cut to sell over at Goldman Sachs. Live from the First American News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And to hear live breaking news over here at Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. Russia is giving its take on its recent pullback from positions around Kyiv. President Putin's spokesman Dmitry Peskov told Sky News the troops were really withdrawn from the regions as an act of a goodwill during the negotiations between the two delegations. He also acknowledged that Russia suffered a significant loss of troops in Ukraine. In golf at the Masters, Sungjae Im leads the field after round one with 5 under. Tiger Woods is 4 shots back from the lead. Stay tuned for updates every hour on Bloomberg Radio and a special edition of Masters Tonight coming up at 11 p.m. Eastern. Major League Baseball, the Mets beat the Nationals 5-1. The Yankees host the Red Sox today after yesterday's scheduled opener was postponed because of rain. In the NHL, the Rangers won, the Devils lost. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg, Karen.
All right, Michael, thank you. It is 6:49 on Wall Street. We turn to news and science and technology now with a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology. NJIT makes industry-ready engineers in more than 20 fields. If it's engineering, it's at NJIT. Learn more at njit.edu. And now here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. Shanghai has reported more than 20,000 new COVID cases for the past 24 hours, marking its highest tally since the start of the pandemic. The city is racing to create isolation facilities as it sticks to a policy of quarantining all those positive for the virus, as well as everyone they have interacted with. Amazon plans to file objections to the union election on Staten Island, New York, that resulted in the first successful U.S. organizing effort in the company's history. The retailer stated its plans in a legal filing to the National Labor Relations Board. Among other things, the company accused the Amazon Labor Union of threatening warehouse workers to vote in favor of the organizing effort. An attorney representing the ALU said the claims were, quote, patently absurd. And Elon Musk, who was added to Twitter's board after accumulating a stake in the social network, will appear at a company all-hands meeting next week to address employee questions. That's a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. Nathan.
Okay, Karen, thanks. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. We're at 6:50 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C., where some of the top stories include Congress basically turning Russia into a trade pariah, Speaker Pelosi's infection bringing COVID closer than ever to President Biden, and Ketanji Brown Jackson's historic confirmation to the U.S. Supreme Court. Let's bring back Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins for more on all these stories. Emily, it's not every day you see a unanimous Senate, but that is certainly what we got when it comes to Russia and trade.
Yeah, it took them a while because this legislation was stalled for a little bit. But we did see all 100 senators vote yesterday to ban Russian oil as well as to end permanent normal trade relations with Russia and Belarus. And these are sanctions that Congress has been talking about for a while. Clearly, they have a lot of support. And it kind of sets the stage then for if more sanctions need to come through Congress, if more aid needs to come through Congress, that there definitely is a willingness on both sides of the aisle to get something done.
How much impact will this really have on Russia's thinking in the war? We've obviously seen the reports this morning of apparent civilian casualties at a railway station that Ukraine says was hit by Russian rockets. And, you know, there's still the factor of Europe still dependent on Russian oil and gas.
Yeah, and to be clear, I mean, these photos that we're now seeing from this train station that was being used to evacuate civilians from the eastern region of Ukraine, they're heartbreaking photos, they're devastating photos, and we're joining a growing number of war crimes that Russia is being seen as having committed in Ukraine. And that's really energized or motivated, rather, Western leaders in the U.S. and Europe to try to start moving on additional sanctions and try and figure out what needs to be done at this point. We are beginning to hear from a number of foreign policy experts like Ukraine Foreign Minister Dmytro Kuleba saying that the war is beginning to shift, that other countries must help Ukraine with larger, heavier weapons, longer range missiles. These are different from the current weapons that are being supplied to Ukraine from Western countries. And they're kind of preparing for this next stage of the war, which might be a little bit more like World War II with large-scale operations.
Can something happen in the short term, given that Congress is going on recess now?
I mean, it will be difficult to do. I mean, certainly there can still be discussions. We do have groups of lawmakers who are going to be going to Germany, to Poland, to the Polish-Ukrainian border. And so there's still an interest in this topic. But unless something urgent needs to happen, it's unlikely we're going to see lawmakers back in Congress for the next 2 weeks. I mean, that said, of course, if something, you know, urgent or an emergency does happen where Congress is needed, where the White House can't act on their own, we've certainly seen lawmakers reassemble in Washington pretty quickly.
Well, one lawmaker who apparently isn't going much of anywhere for the next few days is House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, just the latest in a pretty significant line of top officials that have come down with COVID-19 over the last few days, Emily.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly the highest ranking official at this point, you know, and sort of indicative of the overall spread of COVID cases that we're really seeing go through Washington at this point. We've seen a number of high-ranking officials get COVID. We know that Pelosi was in close contact with President Biden this past week. Now, the White House is saying that the contact was not so close and not so long, that Biden needs to quarantine, that he's still testing negative. But it's really showing that COVID is continuing to be a threat, even though a lot of people are now vaccinated and boosted.
Is this going to affect openings in Washington? I think they're going to be, what, starting spring tours at the White House this weekend, and Congress is reopening for tourists, that sort of thing. Is that going to affect this?
We'll see. I mean, at this point, Congress hasn't made any changes to its opening. We actually saw additional steps that were taken this week as far as what visitors have to do, what their protocol is when visiting the House offices. So we haven't seen any shutterings yet. The message really from the White House has been, you know, everyone is boosted, everyone is vaccinated, that, you know, people, they've got COVID, but they're feeling okay. They're expected to make a recovery. They're not expected to wind up in the hospital. And you really have seen the White House kind of push this narrative of we are at this new phase here where, you know, we have the protections that we need out there. So if and when people get COVID, we are able to make sure that the worst case scenario is not happening.
And speaking of new phases, certainly going to see one at the Supreme Court with the first Black female justice now confirmed.
Yes, Ketanji Brown Jackson was confirmed. All Democrats voted in support, as well as three Republican senators, the first Black woman on the Supreme Court. But Nathan, she's going to be Judge Jackson rather than Justice Jackson for a little while longer, because Justice Stephen Beyer, who she'll be replacing, he's going to be serving out the remainder of the current term. So he's not going to be stepping down until around the end of June, early July, at which point we are going to be seeing Ketanji Brown Jackson formally enter the Supreme Court.
So a bit of a long wait there for Judge Jackson, but I understand that there is going to be something of a victory lap at the White House this afternoon.
Oh, absolutely. This is a historic moment. It was really underscored by the fact that you had Kamala Harris be the one to sort of hold the gavel and to call the vote for her. This, you know, it's something that's big, and it's something that Biden certainly wants to tout, getting through his Supreme Court nominee, getting through with some bipartisan support. And remember, also, when you talk a little bit about who has supported Biden, it's been a lot of Black voters. It's been a lot of Black female voters. And this is something that the White House really wants to make sure that they are touting as a win for them and for a number of Democratic voters.
And a campaign promise kept for President Biden as well.
Yes.
Yeah, before he became president, that he would nominate a Black woman as his first Supreme Court nominee. Emily Wilkins of Bloomberg Government, as always, thanks for the update from Washington. You can read more about all these stories at Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. And if you're in Washington, listen to Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2 to catch all the latest from Bloomberg Radio in the nation's capital. Looking ahead to the market open on Wall Street, S&P futures are higher by 12 points. Dow futures up 118. NASDAQ futures on the rise by 41 points. The 10-year Treasury right now is down 3/32. The yield just shy of 2.67%. Yield on the 2-year right now, 2.51%. NYMEX crude, little change now at $96.07 a barrel. Much more to come on Bloomberg Surveillance. That's next with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrow, and Lisa Abramowitz. For Karen Moscow, I'm Nathan Hager. Have a great Friday. This is Bloomberg.